Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, here with Ryan Dobson, and your host, as always, is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson.
Dad, you've come into the studio today with something that is weighing heavily on you.
Well, Ryan, as you have heard me say, and as our listeners have also heard me say, we're experiencing an outrage of the day in our culture at this time. It's just difficult to believe how rapidly things are changing and how people are forgetting what they stood for just a year ago. And now they're running for the tall grass. And many of those outrageous things involve children and what they're learning in school and what's occurring in the culture at large. And now it's happening again. In fact, we just mentioned one of those outrageous things 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to return to it because many of our parents weren't listening on that day or may have forgotten it, but we need to be reminded that there was a federal district court judge named Edward R. Corman who ruled, and this is 5 weeks ago now, I think, that there should be no restriction on a minor's ability to get the morning after pill without any medical supervision, not a nurse, not a physician, no one who understands what pharmaceuticals can do, and with no parental supervision either. And this judge's ruling said that an individual of any age, so if a girl thinks she's pregnant at 10 or 11 or 12, she could walk into a pharmacy and buy this medication without telling anybody. And, of course, she is not going to know how to take it. Kids don't know anything about dosages and the cautions of taking medication. Now, this foolish judge, Edward Corman, has essentially inflicted that ruling on the parents and their children across this country. Now, we're going to return to that topic because Dr. Meg Meeker is here with us today. She is a pediatrician in private practice, and it's really good to have her here because there are all kinds of medical implications of what's going on right now. I said we talked about this 2 weeks ago. We had a telephone conversation with Mrs. Jill Stanek, and she is a registered nurse, and I consider her to be one of the heroes of the pro-life movement. And we talked about this, but Dr. Meeker, with you here, I think we really need to discuss it again.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm so glad that I can be here and talk about this incredibly outrageous decision. You know, as I'm listening to you talk, my blood boils because I have devoted my life to protecting children, caring for children, advocating for children. And this is an enormous misguided step that this judge is taking who knows nothing about medicine. I am ashamed to say that the American Academy of Pediatrics, American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology will advocate for this as well. And I think it's really important that parents out there understand. They think, well, those organizations say it's okay. These are political organizations. These are not organizations run by physicians who are out in private practice really caring for patients. This is only a political decision. It's not made out of the best medical interest in kids. It's made for one reason, because politically, people feel it's the right thing to do.
What can go wrong with a kid, a youngster, taking this medication without medical supervision?
Well, I believe a lot can go wrong. And I think that a lot, like I said, the AAP and some of the other people writing the medical literature have sold out. Plan B is essentially progesterone.
That's what he's talking about.
What they're talking about here, Plan B, the one they're talking about, levonorgestrel, is progesterone. And when a child takes it, and I will say a child because I have children in my practice who are 10 and 11 years old menstruating. And, you know, if any of these kids can be preyed upon by older men. If a child takes the progesterone pill within 72 hours of sexual intercourse, it is supposed to suppress ovulation so that an egg cannot be formed, therefore fertilization cannot take place. But think about this. If a 14 or 12-year-old kid goes and takes this pill, they're not counting the days since they had sexual intercourse. So they could potentially take it a week after, potentially after fertilization has taken place, and they could have unusual bleeding. Progesterone is given out by prescription for a reason, because someone needs to take responsibility for ill effects that could happen with children. And any woman knows that estrogen and progesterone play a very important role in our overall well-being. And I really wonder who's going to take responsibility if these girls have abnormal bleeding, uterine bleeding, if they have a stroke because they have a clotting disorder that they didn't know about and all of a sudden they took a hormone. And there are many other things that can happen to kids by taking progesterone without any kind of supervision. And I think that every parent should be outraged out there.
Oh, it's unbelievable, and it's highly, highly irresponsible. The National Center for Biotechnology Information did a study on contraceptive packaging and what level of reading comprehension is needed to understand the labeling and instructions on contraceptive packaging. And they say for condoms, it ranged from 6th grade education to a 12th grade education. And emergency contraceptives, which is what we're talking about, requires a 10th to 12th grade education to understand the instructions on the packaging. So we're allowing people, young girls, who don't have the ability to comprehend what the instructions even say.
And you're assuming they'll even read it.
Yeah, they won't read it.
They it's called a morning after pill.
Sure.
That's all they know.
But the fact alone that they know it requires this level of reading comprehension to even understand the packaging means this is highly, highly irresponsible to allow people without that understanding access to this kind of medication.
You agree with that?
Oh, I completely agree with it. I also think that it sets kids up for a lot of problems on other levels. First of all, kids could learn to depend on this as birth control. Well, I can get the morning after pill. It really doesn't matter what I do, so I'm just going to go keep getting the pill every time I have sexual intercourse. The second thing is I worry about these young children who are in very high-risk behavior. Sexual activity for any teenager is high-risk behavior. All physicians agree on that, even those in the American Academy of Pediatrics. The younger you start having sexual activity, the higher your risks of getting cervical cancer, infections, infertility rates go up. It's just a mess. So to teach kids that now there's an even easier way out and is just going to encourage this kind of abuse, and it really, really frightens me because it's a completely wrong message that I, as a pediatrician, want for my patients.
How about as a mother?
Yeah.
You know, we haven't mentioned parents. Apart from the medical implications of allowing kids to take these drugs, you have mom and dad with their moral principles that they're trying to teach to their kids. Mm-hmm. And to tell them that early sexuality is not only harmful to them and will put them on a path toward problems and difficulties in their lives, including pregnancy and for some who will get abortions, but it's also a spiritual issue. And the parents are completely eliminated from this. They don't even know it's happened.
You know, I really think that it's wrong. I think that in medical school and in medical training in general, we group of physicians are taught, and it's very subtle at times, that the parents are the enemy. They don't understand their kids. We are the child's ally. So we are to sort of sidle up next to the child, push the parent aside, whisper in their ear, "It's okay, I'll give you what you need, and I won't tell your mom or dad." That is the worst thing you can do. And my job as a pediatrician, I feel, is to draw the parent closer to the child to facilitate a stronger relationship and communication there and to back away so the parents can take over. And I really fault the medical system for doing this because we train young physicians to think this way, and it isn't right. And once they become parents, I think often their minds change pretty quickly.
As you well know, for 200 years, parents have held the full authority for the medical care of their children. You can't bind a wound or take an aspirin if that parent objects to what you have done to their minor child. Yeah. And all of a sudden, that's changed where a judge is saying, parents, you don't even have a right to know about it. You not only can't stop this or argue for your point of view or your moral perspective, you can't even be told about it. What is occurring agitates me, and I don't mind saying it, because they're interfering with the right of parents to raise their own kids and care for them. Yeah. And instead, they send these kids into a pharmacy to buy something that could have major health implications for them.
Well, Dad, they're calling it over-the-counter medication. And think about this. There's two points on here. Over-the-counter medication, things that a parent has to sign a permission slip for a high school to administer these things to their children or junior high, the things that would be classified as over-the-counter, sunscreen, Tylenol, Benadryl. These are typical over-the-counter medications that most, if not all, high schools and junior highs require parents to sign so the school could administer to their kids. That's what we're calling this medication. Can you see how this devalues life? Well, it's just like taking an aspirin, except it's killing babies. We've just devalued life. We've devalued it so much that killing a baby is just like taking Tylenol, a little Benadryl, you know, you got a bee sting or, you know, some poison ivy, or you're pregnant. This is what we're telling people.
Well, we know that it will result in one death, the death of the baby.
Yeah.
But it might result in morbidity or mortality for the child, for the girl.
Dr. Meagher, I've been told that medications like this increase the risk of stroke, heart attack, blood clot. Am I hearing correct information?
You are, and it really depends because progesterone has been prescription for many, many, many years for good reason. And that's because there are health implications. If you give it to a patient who shouldn't be taking it, for instance, somebody who has a clotting disorder who forms blood clots too easily, they can have a stroke. And this is very real. And that's why I say, I wonder who's going to take responsibility for that when a child has a problem and mom looks at the child and goes, what in the world is going on? As a physician, if one of my patients came in and told me they'd been going to the drugstore over the past few months and taking this, I would be very upset. I would be upset because I want to make sure it's safe for that child. I would not have prescribed that. But as a parent, amp that up a little bit more. I would be outraged if one of my kids not only were just taking the pills and endangering their health in that standpoint, but that they're participating in a behavior that's really high risk, can lead to a lot of problems, and depression. It's taken an enormous toll on them, and I didn't know about it, and I'm their mom. That would really upset me.
And we're also talking about an age group that already has a little bit of dissension with their parents anyway. You think of a typical 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grader. They're not automatically inclined to want to run to mom and dad about every little thing. So when a school official comes and presents that sense of authority, they're naturally going to be more inclined to believe what they say than align with their parents anyway.
Exactly. And the message to the medical community and to the parent community out there from the judges, look, you don't need to take care of this anymore. You can step out of the way. We don't need you physicians. We don't need you parents. We're going to help your kids. Mm-hmm. And is that what we want the federal government doing with our children? No.
So
it goes nowhere good. And, I really resent it as a physician. It's interfering with good care of my patients. And as a mom, I resent it because it's really impeding a healthy relationship that I would have with my kids.
Yeah, the article that I began reading at the start of this program was not identified. It actually appeared in the New York Times and NewYorkTimes.com, and it was written by a woman named Pam Bellick. And let me go down farther into the article and read this. In 2011, the FDA commissioner issued a statement that after rigorous study, it was safe to sell Plan B one step, which is what we're talking about, over the counter for all ages, but was overruled by, of all people, Mrs. Sebelius, who is the secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. And that was the first time a public countermanding had ever occurred. In her decision, Mrs. Sebelius said that Plan B's manufacturer had failed to study whether the drug was safe for girls as young as 11, or about 10% of whom are physically able to bear children. But her decision was widely interpreted in a political context because emergency contraception has become an issue in the abortion debate. Mm-hmm. See, it's totally political. Yeah.
It's all political. It's all political. And I think that parents who are listening need to know a couple of things. The majority of physicians out there, and I don't have a study to prove this, but I do travel the country all the time and I talk to physicians all the time. The overwhelming majority of physicians would not do this and do not like this. However, they're not speaking up because they're busy and they're just trying to keep their heads above water. I also believe that the majority of parents out there don't like this and wouldn't want it. So again, we've got a minority acting here and making political decisions and trying to lead us to believe that this is the norm. This is not the norm. Mm-hmm. This is not what most physicians want for their patients. It is not what most parents want for their children. And I think that's very important for parents to know.
Here's the sequence now. A representative of the FDA said there hasn't been enough study for this. It may be dangerous. And then Mrs. Sebelius comes along and says, we're not comfortable releasing this medication for youngsters mm-hmm. like this. But then here comes a judge. And what does he know about medicine? Overriding those concerns and forcing it upon families. There's something wrong with
that. Something wrong. And unfortunately, I think in the future we're going to see more marriages between politics and medicine, and it's an ugly one. Mm. It's a real ugly one because politics should never influence medicine because it biases us and it makes physicians do stupid things and bad decisions.
What does this say to the owners of a mom-and-pop pharmacy about their conscience? Mm.
I don't even think you have to say the mom-and-pop. I think that even the larger chains, this is so abhorrent to most adults to be handing morning-after pills to little baby kids, mm-hmm. and I call a 13-year-old a little baby kid. I'm sorry they are,
sure.
Developmentally. That most pharmacists are not going to want to do this, and they are going to be forced to act against their conscience because legally are they allowed to refuse a little girl the pill she's asking for? That's another issue. And so you've got a whole line of adults who don't want to participate in this. Physicians, parents, pharmacists, teachers, school administrators who are going to feel very uncomfortable allowing these little kids to take these pills. What are they going to do? Are we going to be backed against the wall and be forced to give them if the kids want them? And I bet we will, because there's a group out there advocating for children's rights. Yeah. Children have the right to sexual freedom. Children have the right to access to birth control. Children have the right to whatever. And it's a very dangerous, slippery slope.
How confident are you that the dictates of your conscience will be respected by the government in years to come?
I think they're going to be less and less and less respected. We're feeling the squeeze already. Already the government tells us what we can do, how long we can keep a patient in the hospital, you know, what our fees are going to be, what diagnoses we should give, even if they're not the correct diagnosis. So they're gnarling us up and twisting us in knots already, and it will just get worse. I try a lot to educate parents. For instance, one thing that parents believe, which is incorrect, is that they're not allowed to see their child's chart, that everything that goes on between the physician and a child is confidential. It isn't. A parent has full access to a child's chart until they're 18 years of age, which means that a parent has legal right to know everything that's going on with their child. And I tell parents that. Now, I talk to kids alone and I say, everything you tell me is going to be in confidence, but if I feel there's something endangering to your health, mom and dad or mom or dad is going to come in and we're going to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever had one patient who's been sexually active where I haven't pulled the parent in and talked to the parent about the child's sexual activity, kids don't want it, but this is what inevitably happens. Enormous amount of relief in the child because they can't stand participating in behavior they're keeping secret from their parents. It eats them up inside. And taking Plan B will eat kids up inside. We're talking about the physical toll. What about the emotional toll of kids going and taking these pills, wondering what's going to happen to their health, messing with their ovulation? They don't know what they're doing. It could be a nightmare for these children.
Dr. Meeker, you mentioned that we have access to our children's charts, but that's always after the fact. What we've raised here is concern that they may go do it and we don't know they're going to do it. We only find out about it afterwards. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So the parent listening who actually knows, I have a pretty rebellious teenage daughter right now, she could run out and do this, we're kind of frightening them. What kind of action can I take as a mom if I see this kind of ruling come down?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's where I think we can take something very ugly and spin it for good. And that's what I try to tell parents. Use this ruling, use this conversation as a means of opening deeper conversation with your kids. You say, I heard a radio program about this pill. And if you're concerned your child is sexually active, but you don't want to come out and ask them, here's what you do. You ask if their friends are. And you don't say it in a judgmental tone. You say it in a questioning, concerned tone. I'm concerned about what's going on. I know that sex is being sold to you kids. That must be very hard for you. Sally, are any of your friends sexually active? And if you open conversations like that and you find out that your daughter's friends are sexually active or your son's friends are, chances are pretty good that your kids may be. Don't react in panic. Don't get judgmental and don't be afraid. March forward into it and talk to them about the dangers and tell them that you are the ally, you're not the enemy. Mm-hmm. You are there as their parent to help them navigate a very toxic sexual culture. And your job is to help them get through their teen years with as few scars as possible. And if they choose in their rebellion and their angerness to walk down that path of being sexually active, there are going to be scars. So that's your job.
You and I have talked about how the Centers for Disease Control and other authorities are not giving kids the information that they need with regard to sexually transmitted diseases and what can happen to them when they sleep around. We do have to give a program at some point to this subject because the truth is being withheld.
Huge. It's the biggest dirty little secret in America. Mm. And nobody wants to talk about it for political and financial reasons. Sex makes a lot of money. A lot of businesses have a lot of money to quiet people, and it's a mess. And I'd love to participate in that program.
Well, let's do that. And thanks for being with us today to talk about this very important matter that's in the news now and will continue to be. This has major implications for children and for parents. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it again. Our guest is Dr. Meg Meeker, and she's a pediatrician in private practice in Upper Michigan. The city is
Traverse City,
and is in practice with her husband, who is also a pediatrician. And it's always a pleasure to have you with us. There's so many of these issues about children that we need to talk to you about that have medical implications. Mm-hmm. We'll do it again.
Great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, there's just something about a Christian physician addressing these topics that gives us great confidence as parents, Ryan.
Well, and that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And I love Dr. Meeker's suggestion that parents can and should use news stories like this to prompt a conversation with their children. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to reiterate something my dad said at the top of the program. This is actually the second time we've hit this issue here on Family Talk, the first being with pro-life hero Jill Stanek back on April 12th. Mm-hmm. So, Mom and Dad, you'll want to listen to that conversation as well before diving into a discussion with your son or daughter on this topic. Here at Family Talk, we're doing our best to give you key information so you can speak with confidence.
And, of course, we've linked to that broadcast at drjamesdobson.org. Mm-hmm. And do look for Dr. Meg Meeker to be returning to these microphones as we'll be setting up more discussions with her on some very practical parenting subjects like this. Of course, she's also already been a listener favorite around here, so we'll link to her prior Family Talk programs as well. All of that, including information on the outstanding books she has written, is at drjamesdobson.org or give us a call, 877-732-6825.
And here in the close, please do keep us in mind when you consider ministries that you will support. You know, the kind of information you heard today is not widely discussed, and we need you to stand with us financially as we strive to keep you aware of important issues like this. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org, via our Family Talk app, or on our Facebook page. And once again, our phone number, 877-732-6825.
Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend, but be sure to return on Monday for a great message featuring this year's National Day of Prayer Honorary Chairman, Pastor and Speaker, Greg Laurie. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.